Welcome to the Founding Fearless podcast. We're your hosts, Ingrid
and Cameron,
and we're here to support you through your journey in becoming a fearless leader and discovering your inner confidence.
We are talking all things entrepreneurial through a college woman's lens. We hope to leave you feeling empowered after each episode. Enjoy! In this episode, we are interviewing Peyton Mabry. Peyton is a media personality and digital creator. She graduated in 2018 from Texas Christian University with a BS in journalism and news and media. Since graduating, Peyton has immersed herself in all things media. Extremely well-versed in creating and distributing messages within the digital sphere, Peyton has garnered a critical understanding of content marketing and how to capitalize on the ever-evolving social media landscape.
Peyton's experience as a world champion athlete and resulting social media presence has shaped her unique approach and vision when curating marketing packages. Her 15-year competitive career provided extensive firsthand knowledge on the inner workings of a team and the mentality of an athlete. This is what drives her passion to be the voice on the other side when aligning with and representing brands, organizations, athletes, and teams. Peyton doesn't fit into any box. Her current endeavors include social media management and consulting, freelance digital hosting for lifestyle and sporting events, public speaking, emceeing, modeling, lead content creation for her personal brand, and her most recent venture has been the co-founder of Influxer. Please welcome Peyton Mabry to the Founding Fearless podcast.
We are so excited to have Peyton Mabry, entrepreneur and co-founder of Influxer, here with us on the Founding Fearless podcast. Peyton, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
So if you want to start out by just telling us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up and everything like that.
Yeah, so I grew up in Frisco, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas, about 20 miles-ish north. I was a competitive cheerleader and middle school, high school, college cheerleader for 1 year, you know, my whole life. And that's really where my journey starts and really where the foundation of who I am comes from.
Okay, great. So also I want to talk a little bit about your entrepreneurial side with influencing. So I know being an influencer is a fairly new type of career and entrepreneurial venture. So walk us through that a bit and how you grew your social media platform.
Yeah, so like I said, I grew up a competitive all-star cheerleader, and that's how I gained my social media platform and following. So it was a very overnight and unexpected thing. It was about 2011, 2012. My team at the time was extremely successful. We were winning all of the major competitions, and that was also around the same time that Instagram was kind of coming to be. So it was like an overnight maxed out Facebook friend request, very bizarre. And then just kind of the follower count started to increase on Instagram, Twitter, and other platforms alongside. And so it started then, and then it just continued to increase throughout my last couple years as a competitive cheerleader, which I was very fortunate to have my parents as my mentors at the time. They were the ones that really guided me and helped me recognize the opportunity and also the responsibility that came with the follower increase and just the audience and having a platform and kind of being able to have influence over that many people. I think everybody has the opportunity to be a quote-unquote influencer. So that, as it relates to a job title, I struggle a little bit with, because I think, again, you know, if you have a platform, if you have something to say, I believe that you have influence. So I would say I was able to capitalize on the platform and the influence that the platform provided me to have by really kind of honing in on content creation, digital storytelling, and just, like I said, having my parents kind of guide me along the way.
Yeah. And was there like something specific? Like, I, when I hear that, I think of like the TV show and on Netflix, Cheer. Mm-hmm. So was there something that like came out that like made your team get like famous, or like how did that happen? Did people just start like following y'all, or?
Yeah. So there was nothing like that at the time. I think that the Netflix show Cheer, I think It was an incredible venture and an incredible product for this project, for the sport of cheerleading, collegiate and all-star. I think it really showcased the just high intensity and everything that goes into it. But no, at the time, it was absolutely just, if you were in the sport of cheerleading and you were at these major competitions, that's kind of where the fan base started. So It was just, it was crazy. Sometimes at competitions, there would be hundreds of people kind of around us, parents, you know, Kids asking for autographs. It was just, it was nuts. So it started off very, very cheerleader-based. And then obviously, as you grow, you know, a platform online, your audience and reach extends past maybe what it originally started as. So
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah. But there was nothing like that at the time. I honestly can't imagine how things would be different if that opportunity would have came about back then. Yeah.
And were you thinking about, like, entrepreneurship before that kind of started? Or, like, would you say looking back, that's kind of where you started thinking entrepreneurial?
Yeah. So, like I said, this was around 2011, 2012. So, I believe I was 13, 14 years old. So, I was still pretty young. I was, again, fortunate to have my parents mentor and guide me along the way. I would say there's always been that entrepreneurial spirit in me. I don't want to say I never knew what I was going to do or what I was going to be. I've always held myself to extremely high standards and felt an immense calling on my life, but I've never known what that calling is or what exactly that role I needed to assume was to kind of fulfill what that calling is. So it's kind of yes and no to answer your question, I think. I knew that I was going to do something different. I knew that it wasn't going to be something cookie cutter, but I definitely didn't have any expectations as to what that was going to be.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I know, like, a big part of being a successful influencer and having a social media platform is having your own personal brand. What are things that you would recommend for listeners who are interested in building a social media account or also, like, building their own personal brand and making themselves different on Instagram, per se, and TikTok, all the platforms?
yeah, for sure. Your personal brand definitely extends. It is who you are, right? And then it's how you project who you are online, in person, in project, whatever it might be. So just like you said, it definitely extends past just Instagram. But I would say the first and foremost thing that people should probably recognize is you have to get very comfortable with saying no. As you're trying to grow and as you're trying to put yourself out there like that, there's going to be people or situations along the way that you might feel forced or obligated to kind of take part in or conform to. And being able to really just stay on the path, you know, that be very fluid, right? And open to change. But that doesn't mean that you have to conform to societal pressures or pressures from, you know, other people to kind of change who you are, what you're doing, because it is normal, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, what makes you different is you. Mm-hmm. So you have to always be able to have that as your compass, but then also, like I said, be very open and fluid to change.
Yeah, and I think that probably makes why we see, like, some influencers, like, you know, you see some that are very authentic and some mm-hmm. that aren't. And so I like that, like, really sticking to your personal brand, not just, like, what you said. It extends out of social media. It's who mm-hmm. you are, like, when you're with other people. That's
absolutely
an extension as well.
Yeah, and then I would say, just to add on top of that, something to definitely keep in mind is it's not easy. And mm-hmm. if it was, everybody would likely do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think more and more people are feeling empowered to do it. And I'm definitely not discouraging that it's not possible for everybody. But it takes dedication, it takes drive, it takes commitment, and it takes just a lot of sacrifice actually growing, you know, that type of presence and that type of income, right, too? Because
right.
at the end of the day, if you're looking to have a personal brand and be an entrepreneur or influencer, blogger, whatever that title is,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you're self-sustaining, right?
Yeah,
and so
exactly.
being able to really recognize there's going to be sacrifice, it's not going to be easy, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a journey. But if you can stay committed to it and if you're actually passionate, you will come out on the other side.
Yeah. And what were kind of your first steps when you realized, okay, I'm getting this big following and influencing and content creation was kind of on the rise? How did you know kind of, okay, this is how we're going to start monetizing things? Because I think, like, that can be kind of a gray area for people. It's like, okay, most of us, yes, are on Instagram, but if I had to start, like, monetizing and, like you said, making your living out of it, I wouldn't even know the first thing to do. So kind of what were your first steps and how did you know what to do?
I would say my journey is particularly unique and different because, like I said, 2011, 2012, the word influencer or influencing, it definitely existed in the capacity that I kind of explained at the beginning, that people have influence, people, you know, celebrities, public figures, they've always had influence. But the term as it is, you know, now today definitely was not around. So I was kind of on the forefront of this movement in this new wave of social media content creators, digital creators. And so it kind of just happened to me because of the way I navigated through my platform. But what I can do is just kind of share how it happened, because I think people might be able to recognize opportunity based on it. So, like I said, I was a cheerleader, growing a platform rapidly alongside, you know, other cheerleaders at the time. There was a couple of us or a small group that the same thing happened to. And it started with, like, cheer hair bow companies, you know, reaching out saying, oh, can we send you some hair bows? So, yes. I love hair bows.
I'm going to have to buy them anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, it's in the hair bows. Then, you know, I had the opportunity to design my own hair bows. So I would autograph the ribbon. They made the hair bows. People would sell them. So that was kind of the first, I would say, like, transaction, you know, because I would get a percentage of sales for each bow sold. So that was kind of the first thing. And then after that, it went to boutiques, small businesses reaching out. Can we send you or pick out some clothing? Can you, you know, post in it and we'll compensate you? So at the time, I was compensated via PayPal, family and friends. I don't know how much y'all know about just transactions, but so it basically wasn't taxable income. It was just because it wasn't a thing. Right. There was really no guidance. Of course, my parents did the proper things and helped me, you know, guide the financial side of it. I just mentioned that because now that's never would you be compensated in that manner. So that's how it started. Then, you know, I started securing larger brands, larger businesses, just kind of as I was ending my competitive cheerleading career. But really it was when I was at TCU, that's when the bigger partnerships, when I say bigger, I mean not the boutiques, not the small businesses, but more nationally.
Household name.
Correct.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of, it was definitely a journey and it definitely scaled as the influencing landscape and, like I said, social media content creation continued to develop. But I would say what to take from that is you just have to start, right? So for me, it started with I was a cheerleader and I accepted hair bows, right? And then it just kind of, once you start doing things like that, it's just kind of a domino effect if you know how to capitalize it on it properly while still remaining authentic to who you are, right? I'm not saying accept free product. If you're, you know, not into cheer bows, definitely I wouldn't say accept it because that's an expense for the company when somebody sends you something. And if they're expecting social coverage or something, you know, you just, you want to recognize their part of it as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that's so incredible that just on top of being a digital creator, you're also an entrepreneur. So you're the co-founder of Influxer, right? So tell us what Influxer is and how you started this company.
Yeah, so Influxer is a full-service NIL company. NIL is name, image, and likeness. So August of 2021, a bill was passed in the NCAA made it permissible for college student athletes to profit on their name, image, and likeness. Prior to this being passed, college athletes were not allowed to make money or be compensated in that manner. So through college, I was extremely fortunate because I cheered my first year, but cheer at TCU, and I believe pretty much across the board, is not considered a quote-unquote sport. Therefore, I was not governed by those same, you know, rules and regulations. So I was actually permitted to do paid collaborations in college, which is I supported myself in a huge way through college because of my ability to do so. But I remember, you know, my football player friends, my baseball player friends, other, you know, college athletes, they would always poke fun at me or, you know, just be annoyed that I was able to do something because they also had, you know, platforms, regardless of the size, you know, they had a platform and I was able to do it and they weren't.
Right.
So going back to your question, we are a full service NIL company. And we connect student athletes with brands for paid collaboration. So we originally started as an app, an iOS mobile application. We recently launched an app store for pre-registration for brands and student athletes. So that's very exciting. Long time in the works there.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then on top of that, we also do, you know, production activations, just large scale collaborations as, you know, most would probably recognize.
That is so cool. And how did you, what do you guys look for in, you can kind of answer this in two ways as the, because you're kind of the entrepreneur for that and also an influencer. So what do you look for in brands that you're partnering with, whether that's brands that you want to partner with on Influxer or individually too?
So personally, I have been doing this for over 10 years now. So it's definitely evolved. And now if you go to my social media platforms and pages, you'll see I really only partner with brands and companies that I truly feel align with my personal goals, where I am currently as an entrepreneur, as well as ones that support me equally. So it's definitely different for me than how we approach it for the student athletes that we are facilitating partnerships for. So we're a free marketplace for student athletes. So our goal is to offer a platform that has as many brands as possible, so long as they, you know, are in alignment with NCAA guidance as relates to, you know, what types of companies you can partner with. There's only a few, you know, categories that aren't permissible. But other than that, if you're a legitimate, you know, small business or large business, you know, we're very inclusive as to the brands that we look for our student athletes, because that's honestly the whole point of the platform.
I love that. Okay, so our next question for you is, obviously, since you've started in Flexer, you've grown your team, I believe. So how has it been expanding your team? How did you know it was time to build the team? And then what do you look for when you're expanding in employees?
That's a great question, specifically because I absolutely had no idea where to begin mm-hmm. when it was time for us to do that. I was very confident in, you know, what we were looking for, the positions, but also the type of person, right, and the roles and responsibilities that we wanted each role to kind of assume. But as it relates to actually conducting the interview and going through that process, my business partner and I, neither of us had been through that process before. Mm-hmm. So it was very much so figure it out as you go, right? Trial and error. And yes, that's been one of the most fulfilling things of this venture, I would say, because just being able to get to know people on that level and have such kind of an intimate relationship from the beginning, right? Because you ultimately build relationships outside of just the workplace when, you know, you're a founding member of a small business or startup because of how closely you work together, because of how, you know, often how many hours you put in. And the team that we've built around us, I mean, they're absolutely incredible. They are amazing. I enjoy, you know, my time communicating with them both personally and professionally. And it's been awesome to kind of see that in myself develop, as well as see, you know, the individuals that we've brought on continue to develop, evolve, and like I said, kind of assume the roles that mm-hmm. we outlined for them.
Well, that's so cool. So I know that in Flexer, you started it with a co-founder, correct? Mm-hmm. So how did you find a business partner? It sounds like from what everything you've been talking about today that you have a good relationship, which I feel like is vital, like to create a company together. So what advice would you give to current students maybe interested in finding a co-founder? What should they look for in this type of person?
Yeah, so I met my business partner through mutual friends, and you know, he asked what I did. I said I was a 10-year social media influencer, recently pivoted to more brand consulting or business consulting for businesses looking to grow or revamp their online social presence, as well as, you know, just kind of changing the way I was approaching influencing at the time. And I remember his jaw kind of just dropped. And at the time, I was like, oh, I'm not exactly sure how to go. Like, yeah. Did I say something? I was like, I basically just said I was a business consultant, 10 years social media influencer. Right. I'm not sure. So I asked him what he did. He said, and then that was that. And then about a week later, he reached out to me and said he has a business and I might be a good fit to, you know, consult him. And he was interested in speaking with me about it. So we hopped on a phone call, went extremely well, hopped on a couple other phone calls, quickly got started. A weekend, it was extremely clear that, you know, his original idea, what I was able to bring to the table, as well as what I was working on personally at the mm-hmm. time, and my goals were in complete alignment. They complemented each other extremely well, and we just kind of went all in. So it was extremely natural as it kind of evolved and became what it is today. But I would say for those looking to have a co-founder, right, have a business partner and not do a venture solely, you know, on your own, I mean, you definitely always need support behind you, regardless of if you have a business partner or not. But it's extremely important to have a business partner that complements you, but also challenges you and has differences, right? Like, you definitely want to complement each other's strengths and weaknesses.
So how can students, if a student athlete's listening to this, how can they sign up and get involved with Flexer?
Yeah, so it's an iOS mobile application right now, which means it's only available on the Apple App Store. We'll have Android eventually, but right now it's just exclusive to the iOS App Store. So just go to the App Store, type in Flexer, download it. And then if you're a student athlete or a brand right now, you can pre-register. So what that means is it's just a quick, you know, couple screens, you fill out some information, you know, it's submitted, we get that, and then when the app is fully live and launches, which will be in a couple of months, I think, you'll get a notification, and then you'll start to be able to participate in the brand collaborations. Awesome.
So sounds like y'all are making it so easy for
well,
student
I'm
athletes.
So glad that we're also like caught you now, you yeah. know? Yeah. And so like we can build Pre-launch. Excitement, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. So. It's been, we've been working on this for well over a year. Our software engineer is incredible. He understands the project beautifully. I couldn't, you know, ask for somebody that understands what our goal and vision, right? Because it's one thing to have the vision, but having somebody that
execute.
Knows how to execute it and also is creative and mm-hmm. forthcoming with ideas and suggestions, it's been phenomenal. So that's very exciting. But right now, like I said, it's available for pre-registration. So you go on, submit your information so we can start getting everything ready for when the app is fully live.
Okay, well, awesome. Perfect. So our next question for you is, obviously, I know we mentioned this before, but our listeners are primarily female college students. So what advice would you give them if they are interested in a future with entrepreneurship and building a company? How should they start preparing now for that future?
I was going to say, as you began the mm-hmm. question, I was like, start now. Uh-huh. Because it's never too soon to start. And honestly, if you can just start building connections, sharing, you know, with mentors, peers, teachers, any trusted individual, you know, that's kind of in your circle that you can start just communicating and having a dialogue about your goal and your vision. That's definitely the place to start speaking it into existence, right? Start putting it out there. Then from there, basically, if it's online or if it's selling a product, start getting mock-ups of the product or start kind of designing what that storefront is going to look like, maybe brand colors, think of brand name, right? Just any component to, like I said, if it's a service or a product, just start building out what those line items look like, because then you'll be able to see that vision and it will just be a domino effect mm-hmm. from there, and you'll be able to continue to scale it. But like I said, have the conversations, lean on those around you, especially if you're in college. You know, your professors, your coaches or administrators, the mentors around you, they will want to pour into this and they will want to pour into what you're doing. So it's just extremely important that you can recognize that and feel confident in doing that. I would say that's something I wish I would have done a little bit more mm-hmm. when I was in college. I'm not saying I didn't do it, but looking back, I was young.
Yeah.
And there were so many resources available to me, and being able to recognize that, like you all are. Mm-hmm. I think exactly what y'all are doing. I would say that that's a step in, you know, whatever career path you choose to pursue mm-hmm. when you graduate, this is definitely something that is aiding to that experience and whatever's fueling you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my next question for you is, do you think it's necessary for students to start building a social media presence now?
I'm assuming you're asking regardless of if they are looking to have a career in social media content creation.
Yes, exactly. No matter like what career they're interested in, maybe if they want to like build a company or they just want to have a social media presence and be a, you know, have a personal brand.
So basically, is it required to be successful? Yeah. It's definitely not required to be successful. However, it is an incredible tool and resource to kickstart, you know, a career opportunity mm-hmm. or amplify the opportunities coming to you in, you know, in already like if you've already started down your career path. So I wouldn't say it's necessary, but it's definitely, like I said, a tool and resource that I think should be capitalized on. And really just keeping in mind, if you post it, it's online. Mm-hmm. It's people are going to see it. It's a representation of you. It's a representation of what you're about. And it's also reflective of kind of your character. And if you're looking to be hired somewhere, they're going to look at that. And if you're looking to start something for yourself, basically that's the foundation. So just making sure that, you know, you kind of have some moral and ethic things, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Your checks and balances internally is to, I'm not saying don't be authentic, absolutely do, but what's authentic to me is definitely probably different than what's mm-hmm. authentic to you, and that's excellent. Just make sure you don't take it too far one way or another, right?
Right.
Just, you got to keep it reeled in a little bit, in my opinion,
yeah.
In order to be successful and really capitalize on the opportunity that having a social media platform can lead to.
Right. And how important do you think that it is for people, whether they're wanting to be like an influencer and building their personal brand, or for brands themselves to be on multiple platforms? Because I mean, I think that we've all been hearing over the last like couple months and year about like the Instagram algorithm and how that's kind of screwing people up and like messing with their engagement. And honestly, like you were saying, this is the livelihood for some people. And so it's not like, for me, it's like, okay, I get 50 less likes on my photos. Doesn't really matter because I'm not making money. But for someone that's how they support their family and stuff, like how important do you think that it is to be on TikTok and Instagram and kind of capitalize on all of that?
Yeah, so I would say right now it's extremely important and almost necessary to diversify the platforms that you're on. So if you're only on Instagram, get on YouTube, get on TikTok. If you're only on TikTok, get on YouTube, you know, vice versa.
Right.
Because just having your career and income dependent on one platform and one platform alone, that's definitely, it's just not smart.
Right.
Additionally, and on top of that, sell something, have a product or service that is separate from who you are and your social media account, right? So if your social media account were to just go away, having something else, whether that's a merch line, whether that's a podcast, whether that's et cetera, right? It doesn't, there's so many different things and products and services that people can venture, but taking the momentum of a social media platform and pouring that into another endeavor, I would say is the best way to protect yourself because algorithms are out of our control. Platforms are out of our control,
right?
And ultimately we don't own that. So having something that you can control and you can own online, like a website that you sell things on, is I would say almost as important or more important than diversifying the platforms that you post on.
That's really good advice.
This is like really good advice. Okay, so speaking of advice, what advice would you give yourself, you know, back when you first started, given your experience and success now?
I would say I listened to my parents a lot, but there were a couple of things I did not do that they advised me to do. And I would say specifically listen to them on kind of the things that I'm talking about. And then also utilizing my resources a little bit more in college, like I talked about. I went through a lot in college, so I definitely don't blame myself. And like I said, I was young, but I just wish I could give myself a little, you know, a little kick and a little momentum and say, it's okay, just go, just do it. And don't be hesitant or reserved because of other situations. But I, like I said, I was very young and I was going through a lot. So more so the first one, there's a couple things that my parents definitely were right about that I probably should have done. But honestly, I'm extremely happy and at peace and also proud of the journey that I've had and how I've navigated it. And I wouldn't change it, but you're asking if I had to tell myself something, it would just be just do it. Listen, because, you know, you're going to but that's forever. I believe that probably everybody has.
And
like
hopefully
that.
Hopefully this podcast to our listeners, like, will give them, you know, that little like inspiration, little push that we all need. Everyone needs it.
It's hard. It's hard to listen to, you know, your parents or people that close to sometimes. And when I say hard, we're just stubborn, right?
Oh,
and
exactly.
Maybe it doesn't make sense, or maybe it doesn't seem correct, or maybe it doesn't. I'm not sure. There's so many different feelings that can come with it, but ultimately, you're gonna graduate college, and years are gonna pass, and you're gonna look back, and there's gonna be light bulb moments, and oh man, darn. So that doesn't mean don't enjoy college and don't live in the moment, but I would say that's probably relevant for everybody.
Yeah. Okay. What does a typical day in your life look like? Because it sounds like you have a lot going on. So how much time would you say that you spend like doing your influencer content creation? I know there's like a million titles that we can give that portion. And how much do you spend on like Influxer and all of that?
Yeah. So my current ventures include Influxer, obviously maintaining my personal brand and the relationships and partnerships that I have with that. And then also I do social media management and consulting for a few businesses as well. I've scaled the last two quite significantly in order to be as present and, you know, build and grow Influxer as much as, you know, humanly possible. I think I work probably 80-hour work weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, it's insane. So it's a lot. And that's, like I said at the beginning, definitely something if you're going to be an entrepreneur, starting a company that, you know, where you're hiring people and hiring team members, that's different than building your personal brand. So the sacrifices and but all of it is the same as it relates to the time and dedication it takes to build and scale something. So I don't know exactly how much time I spend on the content creation component, the social media management and consulting component.
Right.
But I can say in general, everything altogether is probably about an 80-hour work week. And every day is different, but every day I wake up and, you know, team members to communicate with, meetings, things to plan for, things to strategize, ton of phone calls, all of the unexpected things that come up every single day as a startup in the industry that we're in. I speak with our attorney all the time, but, you know, it's always a call.
Yeah.
Always. There's always something going on, always something happening. And it's easy to feel like everything's a fire or like a fire drill. Right.
Right.
So really just remembering every day that it's okay. Right.
Yeah.
And tomorrow is going to come and new problems going to happen, which means the problems today will be solved. And, it's a lot. It's a really fun journey.
I love hearing, you know, a little bit more about like your day and everything. I love that. So our next section, we're going to jump into our rapid fire question segment. So I love this because it really allows us to get to know whoever we're interviewing a little bit more, and it makes the audience, you know, feel a little bit more comfortable.
I didn't read these before, because I was like, I think I want my answer to be a little bit more.
The first one sometimes like gets people where like, it's going to be so easy, and then like they're like, but you'll be fine. Don't worry.
I mean, they're nothing that bad. No. Don't worry.
It should be easy, but.
Okay. That was intentional on my part, not to read.
Okay,
that was
good. Perfect. No, perfect. We like this better. Okay. First question. What is something that no one would expect about you?
Oh my God.
Told you.
Something that nobody would expect about me. I know what my dad would say, and for some reason, that's the first thing that came to mind, and I'm not going to say it. I did a Q&A on Instagram once, and I posted
you said it.
So it's somewhere in my story highlights.
All right. Okay, perfect.
But
if you want to know, go look on her Instagram story highlights and try to figure it out.
Something else would probably be, I mean, I'm the worst singer ever. I don't know, it's not super fun, but I'm actually so bad. My friends will turn up the music or just look at me.
Like, please. That's funny.
Such a hard.
I know. It stumps people, but
honestly,
it always.
Also, Cameron, I realized that we've never answered these questions.
I know.
So we need
Maybe
to
one day we need
something.
To, because we're like, what's something? And then I'm like, I have no idea what I would
and
say.
We're
like,
ha-ha. Yeah.
Okay, moving on though. Okay, what is your morning routine?
My morning routine. I wake up, I go into the kitchen, have a glass of water, make a cup of coffee, absolutely necessary. Think about breakfast as I'm thinking about breakfast or making breakfast, you know, just start looking at emails, planning for the day, usually have a meeting pretty soon after. Ideally, and I'm working on it, I would like to start getting a workout in or some form of exercise, whether it doesn't matter what it is, just
going on a walk
moving.
Or something.
Yeah. Yes, moving in the morning, because as the day gets started, it's harder to carve out that time. But I'm not going to say that's part of my routine right now, because I'm working on it becoming a part of it. But that I would say that's what it looks like right now.
Okay.
Awesome.
Great. So, okay, next question is, who is your favorite entrepreneur or leader?
Favorite? I would say I've been very blessed to be surrounded by entrepreneurs my whole life. Those very close to me, and also the business ventures that I've chosen to be a part of. I've just been able to have mentors that are entrepreneurs. So I would say I don't have one specific favorite, but those closest to me, I would say, are the ones that have impacted me the most. But I would say what you can take from any entrepreneur, and the word, you know, favorite, is just how do they navigate all times, right? So things are going to come up, and just observing kind of the highs and the lows.
Okay, what is your favorite TV show to binge?
Favorite TV show to binge? Right now I'm watching Suits.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm rewatching it right now, actually.
I had
too.
Never watched it before. Right now I'll say Suits, but I've watched many other shows, but I love it.
Yeah. I loved Suits. So
I love it. It's I'm in, at the end of season 6, so it's,
oh, you're like, wow.
It's wrapping up. I know, I'm sad. I think there's only 8 seasons.
Harvey's
so.
Like my favorite human ever, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, so what's your favorite book or podcast, if you have one?
Favorite questions. That's one thing about, maybe that's, I can't make a decision.
Maybe something no one would expect at you.
So I really like Lauren and Michael Bostick with Dear Media. I would say they have, you know, the Skinny Confidential, but just in general, as entrepreneurs, as well as the products that they put out, I think they do a great job. I think they're extremely business savvy while still remaining true to, at least in my opinion, kind of their goals and who they are as people, which is ultimately how you build the best personal brand. So I would say their all of their products, but specifically how they market them, advertise them, integrate them into all of their other ventures. It's definitely something to look at and study because they're doing something definitely right.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love Lauren and Michael. I actually ran into Michael in an airport one time and I was like too embarrassed to say hi. So I was
oh,
like,
I think they live in Austin.
Yeah,
now.
They do. Yeah. Okay. So it was in the Austin airport and I was like, oh my gosh, there's Michael. And my sister and I were like, okay, whatever. Okay. Our last question, what does founding fearless mean to you?
As cliche as it sounds, believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, who will? So just really having, like I said, that faith in who you are, what you're building, and trust your gut, right? Because it's ultimately at the end of the day, you and you alone. So without kind of that faith in yourself, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, that's amazing advice. Okay, so thank you so much, Peyton, for coming on. And before we go, just like, where can people find you and support Influxer and everything that you're doing?
Yeah, so on Instagram, Peyton_Mabry is mine, at Influxer, InFluxer is the handle. Same on Twitter for me, Influxer app on Twitter for Influxer, and then just awesome. Normal websites.
Great. Yeah. Thank you awesome. So much
this
again.
Was so
this was
fun.
So fun, and I loved all of your advice.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure to subscribe and follow the Founding Fearless podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And don't forget to like, rate, and leave us a review.